live. Can does anyone know I'm here?
Guys, we're hot. We're hot. I got to start the show. Here we go.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
This be Frederick Douglass, and you listening to the Hardened Atheist. We got us radios now.
I love openings. I like that you put effort into this.
Yeah, we try.
It's all about the opening.
I gotta go now. Hello, Homo sapiens, and welcome to the Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from that restraining order she had to file against you. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by me, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might use your statements in the live broadcast, so join me there now.
And we beg you to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and write a review. Help us get in the top 10.
And if you go to iTunes right now, you will see nude pictures of Emery there.
That's not true.
Too late. I already said it.
That won't convince people to subscribe.
I don't care. Now we're even.
We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one.
As no one has ever said to Herman Cain, you can plug anything you want. Just don't sing.
When I was a little girl.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you puritanical pietists. In the studio today, we have Deborah Wilson, Todd Glass, and Henry Phillips. You know these folks from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Hey, thank you.
Right on.
I'm really, really excited to have Todd back, for starters.
It's been a while.
Non-believer in the house. Nice to have you back. And Deborah Wilson, I'm so excited to have you.
I'm really looking forward to doing the show, and I'm grateful to be here. Grateful.
The circumstances are really cool, and we're going to get into that.
Yeah, man.
I wish there were more, and I'm sure everything I've talked about as you're saying it, you've talked about, because all the theory. But like whenever you say non-believer, I get people that know what you mean, know what you mean.
Right.
But then you always
have to
go out of your way to say, and I stopped doing it after a while. I thought, people know. You can agree to disagree, but someone still knows. Like, in other words, if somebody said, oh, you know, all religious people believe in that, even though I'm not a religious person, I could still defend a religious person. I go, that's not true. So I would hope the same would be with for me, but I'm not always sure. Like, I don't believe, obviously I'm an atheist, but I believe in love and I believe in caring. And I'm, you know, it sounds like it's such a cold word. Because I think growing up...
Well, you wrestled with that early on, right? I mean, when you started making that transition out of believing in something and not...
Yeah. Well, it's like I believe in a lot. It's a non-believer. I get what you mean. It means not believing in what we're talking about.
In religion.
In that there's a force that can, like you said, there's a force that can change the way of things. Mm-hmm. But I believe in a lot of... I believe in a lot of things that people that are religious believe in. I just don't believe in it. You know, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Henry, how are you?
I'm doing good.
What do you not believe?
I don't believe in much. Well, I've never really been a sort of a spiritual type person.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because Todd calls himself spiritual.
Well, for what the word means, I mean, I certainly believe in energies and for, you know, everyone could say what's energy mean, but yeah, I think Henry might find he's more spiritual. He probably is spiritual.
I know Henry.
What do you think spiritual means?
Maybe that's what we should do is define that what is spiritual it. That, means.
Spiritual means something different to everybody. When I started becoming and jump in anytime. When I started becoming an atheist, when I started moving to agnostic, excuse me, like you were just talking, I found it important to tell people that I am indeed spiritual, mm-hmm. and I did that because I felt like they would perceive me as this horrible heathen when I said I was agnostic or atheist.
Right.
And so I wrestled with that for years, actually, touring the road, doing comedy, interacting with people, shaking hands and all that, and mentioning these things in my show, but only lightly, and then having to explain later. So to me, spiritual meant I'm not this monster that I, in my own mind, thought being a non-believer was. And then
soulless.
I finally understood that, soulless,
yeah.
which I am
cold.
Soulless, in my opinion. but to other people, it's totally a different thing, you know.
One thing I will never do, and I've been pretty good at never doing it so far. I've probably creeped into it, but I hope I never do it again the rest of my life. And what I mean is I'll be proud of myself if I don't. I never want to get into an argument with someone that is religious and then you go back and forth because, you know, you believe in what you believe and they believe in what they believe, and never has it ever ended where someone went, oh my God, you might have a point.
It, on occasion.
That's not true.
Really?
Oh,
on,
yeah.
On occasion. But understand, we're on the front lines of trying to open people's eyes to the risks of religion.
Because you know
that's
what?
That's definitely what we're trying to do.
I was thinking the other day, you know, like so far up to now, my belief has been I don't want to mirror the behavior of some. It's very important to say some. I know the feeling of driving in the car and having someone generalize. Some religious people, you don't want to mirror that behavior. So the first thing you have to tell people is, I'm not sure there is or isn't a God.
Right.
I'm just not pushy with it. I don't want the world to be governed by what I believe either, because
yeah.
that's doing the exact same thing. But I do say that I might have to change that, because sometimes you can't agree to disagree or nothing changes.
Well,
up,
right.
up to now, I said, let them believe there is, and I'll believe there isn't, and young people... they'll change. They take it all in.
Right,
that's
right.
all I really care about now is that young people, no one that's most older people aren't going to change, but young people, all I say, I think I might have said this before is
yeah.
whatever you believe in, like if I had children, I would certainly not raise them not to believe in a God.
Right.
At all. No way. That's, again, mirroring the behavior. I would just say, whatever you guys believe in, talk to my son or my daughter and say, I want you to study every type of religion there is. And whatever you end up believing in, that's okay.
Well, let's role play. Daddy, what do you believe?
You're going to be...
Let's role play. What do you believe, Daddy?
Well, I believe, and I want to make sure, you know, I hope...
You're
I,
an actor. I, well, you I didn't act like I'm your kid.
No, no, I'd hope I'd be this close. Yeah. I'll tell you what I believe, but again, I don't want to influence you on what you should believe, because look, in life, we're going to love each other. You're going to be my son. You're going to be my daughter. I'm going to be your dad, but we're going to have a lot of things we disagree on, and this can be one of them. I don't want to influence you, but... I might get into telling them what I believe, but again, I would more say, just believe in, you know, you just go out, you learn everything, and whatever choice you make, there's going to be no. But I would say this, I would say whatever you do, make sure there's logic applied to it. There's
yeah.
no blind faith, because I always find whenever you put blind faith into anything, and whenever I feel like when you ask religious people, they'll go, oh no. But look, I'm just going about what I heard growing up. There's a lot of you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to – nothing has to make sense. But if you apply that to any other area in your life, you get fucked.
Yeah.
Some, if you buy a car with yeah. blind faith, whatever.
Yeah. Anything.
So things
anything.
Need to make
Vibrators.
Sense. So that's all I would tell my children, that things need to make sense. And when they don't make sense –
Well, Dad, I've read the Bible top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
and the Westboro folks make a lot of sense. I'm going to move in with them. Thanks for leaving that open for me. I appreciate that.
Well, you know what? I don't even know what that means to be able to
– Westboro tell. Baptist Church are the God hates fags assholes.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
Well, you know, what would you do if you raised your children right? And certainly not all religious people believe that. So yeah. I want to make sure that I got, because when you're having an argument or a discussion, I always want to make sure you don't just throw everybody. I know there are many people that believe in God and religion that don't believe what you just said. Mm. Obviously,
absolutely
right.
Well, I think there are 250 million different belief systems.
Right.
None of the single belief systems are adhered to by everybody the same. Let's go.
Go ahead.
I want to know a little about what Deborah believes.
Okay.
A lot.
Like I said,
I know
just,
a lot.
Because I was listening to the salad. I was very grateful to be the croutons on the top. So it was all good for me. Yes, I am an ardent deist, a very, very ardent deist. I believe that there is a God. I know that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And I am clearly in tune with that energy and that vibration, that truth, that trust for me.
Yeah.
And I am not a religious person, so I'm not a Christian.
Were you ever?
Yes, I was.
Oh, really?
And I went from being a religious person to an agnostic.
Okay.
And from an agnostic to a believer, a very staunch believer because of experiences. I think we all have experiences that are either traumatic or great or cathartic or powerful that lead us to whatever decisions we're going to make in our lives. And my journey led me to, for me, a knowingness. It's very, very powerful for me. It's more than just it's not a blind faith. It is a psychic culmination, a spiritual culmination, a knowingness. It's been very powerful for me, and it's been very, very powerful in the way I relate to people and the response and the stimuli, which has been pretty amazing and cathartic for a lot of people and what they choose to accept
mm-hmm.
from what I offer as a human being based on what they're asking.
And now, this sounds like you came from a place that wasn't fulfilling you and you got to
this place. Absolutely not fulfilling
me. Is that accurate?
It was absolutely not fulfilling.
Okay.
Whatsoever. Religion was not fulfilling for me at all. And
how about agnosticism?
Agnosticism?
When you went from religion to agnostic...
It was not fulfilling.
It wasn't either.
No.
Okay.
And I was very staunch. In fact, I was more staunch because when I grew up in a Christian church, it was one of those things where you did what your parents did, you did what your family did, you did what your culture did.
That's how religion works.
And when I became agnostic, it was a journey of my own discovery. I was old enough at that point to really create and discover and learn and listen. I was old enough to make intellectual decisions, logical decisions. But no matter what I did in creating those decisions, allowing those decisions, accepting those decisions, and taking full ownership and responsibility of those decisions, I was emotionally empty.
Okay.
Something was still missing that I could not grasp my finger on. And so
and the spiritual approach that you have now is filling that void. Is that right?
It's filling it a billion percent. So if we can go beyond 100%, I would say a trillion, zillion, million percent.
Gotcha. How did you get here? And I want to ask you about consciousness vibrations and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I really want to know
how did I get here? Let's see, in a nutshell, bedwetting. Contemplating suicide from the age of 11 to 25, attempting it twice, prostituting myself, low self-esteem, just total self-loathing, and all of those things, and going through experiences in which my mind, my body, and my spirit were not necessarily ready to move forward in accepting my gratefulness of life and not willing to accept my successes.
Yeah.
And in the process of fucking those things up because I was discombobulated as they continued to come, especially, you know, before, during Mad TV, coming to certain acceptances based on more cathartic experiences and expressions with human beings.
Yeah.
Discovering, looking, asking, wanting, knowing, and all of those things were not necessarily guided towards religion or spirituality, but it was guided towards me, what I wanted to do to grow as a human being.
Yeah.
So I didn't ask for some pie in the sky God to come and rescue me and save me.
We're generally well past
it
that.
It was definitely. And at one point I did. So I believe that is a part of the formula. But once I had that part of the formula, I was still empty. And when I was seeking a greater part of the formula, the greater part of the formula more than anything else was asking to be a better human being, to be happy, to be whole, to be complete, and to find that harmony and balance with all sentient life.
Right, right.
Isn't that kind of like the way people grow as from child to adult, to you start off believing what your parents say and just following authority figures, and then you start to grow rebellious and grow out of that. You might become, you know, a disbeliever that way because you're mad or something, and then you grow into a branch of whatever way you choose to, go.
I absolutely agree. But for me, it was a matter of watching the hypocritical behavior of adults who are in a church system and going, you all lied to me.
So well, therefore, the same exact way, though. I felt the same, same
you
lied
exact way.
I knew when I talked to you on the phone that we were going to be agreeing mostly when talking about religion. I knew we were going to agree on that stuff. Yeah,
people
all of us
kind
of
still freak out a little bit because when they say, when they hear what I have to say and they hear what comes out based on my experiences and my expressions, when they hear the spiritual dynamics of which I speak and the spiritual diatribe in which I speak and the vernacular, the spiritual vernacular in which I speak, they automatically assume I'm a Christian. And I tell them, no, I'm not a Christian. And they go, well, what's the difference? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I go, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ historically, absolutely. And they go, well, what makes you not a Christian? I said, because I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I know that that is what the pinnacle of what makes you a Christian, and I don't also follow Christianity because it's a man-made religion.
Right.
So
thank you.
You know, so I don't follow Christianity. I get what people do. I overstand it enough. But I overstand it enough.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, okay. We have a new saying. We're all going to be walking out of here using this.
Here's what understanding is. people who understand, whether they're religious or whether just sentient
understand,
beings,
period.
When people understand, they stand under something, so they don't have all the information because they're not standing on the pinnacle of something in which they're looking at the larger picture, which includes everyone, every single being. Right. Now, when you overstand something, you're standing over as if you're looking down at the precipice going, I'm looking at everyone involved. I'm looking at every sentient being involved, and I'm counting them as equally as important as my opinion about something. Mm-hmm. Because everything is a part of a larger cosmos. Every single being, every single thing, every single thought, every single idea, every single concept is a part of a larger consortium in the cosmos. Yeah. And therefore, when I overstand something, I'm taking into account the position that I'm in over the precipice to look at it all.
Right, right, right. Well, I want to make sure that we get also to the discussion about how you and I came to be in touch with each other.
Yeah.
I think that's really a compelling discussion. I want to have it very soon, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode brought to you by fundamentalists. If it weren't for them, we'd have no reason to complain. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Deborah Wilson, Todd Glass, and Henry Phillips.
Here's where I'm confused a little. But obviously everything, I mean, not obviously, it makes sense what you're saying. But I hate this expression because it usually comes from someone that's lying. But to be honest, even though I said I would, you know, that back and forth thing.
Yeah,
you do that early on once or twice. You realize that that's just foolish. But I do morbidly sometimes. The only really, because I also know a lot of people that believe in God don't believe in organized religion.
Right.
A lot of people lump it together, and I know that's frustrating for people that believe in God but wouldn't go near a church. I get it. But only thing I morbidly want to ask people questions just to hear their answer. And I have proven to myself that when I hear their answer, if it doesn't make sense, I don't take it further because then you start into that back and forth thing. Yeah. But I always want to ask people that they say God has a reason for everything. If people say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, then I'm like, oh, you're not hurting anybody. But the only conversation I love to get into to hear their reason is like, does God alter it? Like when someone says, I prayed and God, the fire didn't hit my house. Or when a baby's taken, they go, oh, God needed it as an angel. And then I want to ask that person, if you believe in it, I would love to ask you. But here's what I always ask. So if he wanted it as an angel, and I'm going to listen to what you say, I'm not going to argue. And every time I ask this, I don't argue because I just told them I wouldn't. Then why would it have to get – and I have to be morbid to make my point because this happens.
Sure.
I get he wants to take the baby as an angel. That I could sort of understand. If there's angels up there, he needs them. But why does he have to have the baby raped and left on the side of the road?
Yeah, yeah. Crib death is a perfectly acceptable way to get him up there.
Now, but by the way, if you're going to ask somebody something, you have to understand that they're going to tell you what's from their heart and their soul.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't make sense to you, I think you just have to hear it. And then go, thank you for your honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's silly. Do you believe that, like, when God takes a baby or something, like, oh, well, he has a plan and he needs an angel or that type of stuff?
Deborah?
I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that there is a connection to everything, whether we overstand it or not. Sometimes it's not our place to overstand something. Whether we accept it or not, again, is freedom of choice. I believe that God gives us many things, of which life, love, and the power of choice. So anything that comes within that reasoning or logic, there are things that go outside that reasoning, that logic, that we don't always get. I think if you believe in something greater than yourself, then there is also that opportunity that spreads out to say, I don't always understand everything. I don't always overstand everything.
Now, let me ask you this. Does that, and I'll hear what I said. I just find most people don't adhere that to any other area in their life, that type of, because I just heard sort of mirroring the type of, you know, we don't have to understand everything. But if that works in this area, and let's say it does,
yeah,
I would believe it more if people go, yeah, that's how I buy a car too, and that's how I tell my – every other area, it seems like we tell our children, trust your instincts.
Right.
Do I have to – I don't understand you. If it doesn't make sense, honey, it doesn't make sense, you say to your kid. But in this area, there seems to be a lot of gray area. I'd almost admire someone if I go, is that how you buy a car? Is that how you do other things? And they go, yeah, I don't. Well, I'll give you an example. I bought my house.
But I'll tell you that. That has happened to me.
My house was $50,000 more than every other home in the neighborhood, and I didn't really match up with all the comps. But you know what? I don't have to understand everything. I bought it. Seems to be like, no, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's where I get a little foggy when it turns into this, things should make sense.
Yeah.
Or if they don't. Because there are things I'm not sure about that I don't disregard.
Yeah,
I don't try to – Let me. I don't try to over-explain them. I'm not sure if I believe in reincarnation. I'm not sure if I believe in a lot of things. I just leave it at that. I don't try to over-explain it with gray, with a lot of gray terms.
Yeah, I'm really
happy. I'm not sure.
Well, I have an atheist friend, really strong atheist, who has this one little tiny screw loose, if you will. And every once in a while, you'll go, why did you do that completely? Why do you think that completely illogical thing is the right thing to fucking do? Why did you do that? And he will say, yeah, I know it's probably wrong. It just felt right at the time. And he just dismisses it. And I kind of respect that. It's like every once in a while, I'm going to get a little screwy and I'm going to do something different and odd and that doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to make apologies for it. And he puts it in this tiny little pocket where he says, that's what that is. Leave it alone.
And I've done that. So yeah. For me, I've done the same thing where it's a matter of, okay, I'm following my instinct here. I'm following my gut. I'm following this expression. This is what I'm here to do as a human being on this planet. And so I'm following this expression as well. I think there is room for a lot of things, especially knowing that I don't believe in good, bad, right, or wrong. I just don't believe in good, bad, right,
There's
or wrong.
No evil.
I don't necessarily believe in evil.
Yeah,
I don't know if I do or don't. I really don't. I'm still open to that. I'm still open to the idea and the concept that exists.
Yeah.
But I haven't experienced it. So when people talk about demonic possessions and stuff, I think it makes for great film and stuff and television. Have I experienced it enough to have an honest opinion about it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily. Do I believe that there's a possibility that it might exist? I'm open to the idea and the possibility. I try to stay open to all things.
Right, right.
But for me, in my experiences, I don't believe in there's good, bad, right, or wrong. I think that we come into this planet, this three-dimensional realm.
But come on, Deborah.
Let me finish.
Murder or rape, though.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I believe that we come into this three-dimensional realm to experience and express.
You almost are a... existentialist to a certain degree.
And I think there is room for that too. Yes, yeah. To a certain extent, absolutely.
But
I wouldn't disagree.
Don't we have to draw some lines like rape is wrong and murder is wrong? I mean,
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not saying that the action doesn't have consequences that are huge and cathartic towards others. Now, if you want to put it in a category of a word like that, then go right ahead. But am I looking at the larger picture when I say overstanding as in what this action does and what does it do towards others? Absolutely. And at the same time, I have seen people who have been molested and raped turn their lives into something so productive that it doesn't become a matter of their own healing. It becomes a powerful thing in which they need and desire to heal others in the process simply because in healing others, they heal themselves continually.
I was molested by an uncle, and every once in a while I get in this interesting side note where I'm going, God, you know, I've written so much great material on it, I almost should thank the guy. you know what I mean?
You know, I was just thinking of, again, reminding myself, because I have my friends that... Oh, is that too noisy?
No, go ahead.
Oh. You know, I always think kids are always smarter. Whatever kids... whenever we move forward in this society, it's always better. Even though we argue it all the time, kids are smarter today.
Yeah.
Whatever kids... And I think the numbers are growing of people that feel like this for a reason, not because the world's falling apart.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the history, there is a little bit of science to opinions. Every time we think the world's falling apart, oh, look at kids today, or look what's going on, it ends up kids are usually more forward-thinking.
Right.
There's less hate amongst kids. There's less amongst – do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There's more open – kids are more open-minded. So I think the only important thing is there's someone out there, they're younger, they're listening to this. And in this room, we're not going to – you know. They're listening. They're going, does that make sense or does that make sense? And they're smart. They're going to go, oh, that doesn't – including me too. Someone's
listening
to me.
Nah, the kids are listening right now going, where's the dick jokes? We're used to dick jokes on this show.
I know. Where is it?
No, I think people take it all in. It's just,
do you have kids?
No, I don't. And by the way –
you want some.
The only reason I enjoy this conversation, which I do enjoy it, first I think you need to prove – because the great question is, and you have to come prepared, I don't know if I always do, if I'm defending being, you know...
Non-believer,
yeah. Is what's it hurt if someone believes? Now, forget about organized religion.
I think we can all agree. We're going
to
talk
just,
about
just
this today.
Just a straight from you to something you believe.
Right.
So what if I don't believe? Somebody else believes. How's it hurt?
I think
I have a sort of an opinion on that.
Well, I want to hear it.
I
want to hear it. And I think that when I meet people like Deborah who think the way you do and believe the way you do and live your life the way you do, all I can say and all I can think is pretty harmless, really.
That's exactly what I think.
Really harmless. The Catholics, the Baptists, the every time someone says, "I believe this, give us money so we can do what we got to do," you got a fucking problem. That's
okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, here's in a nutshell for me. Mm-hmm. God is love. Love is my religion.
I think that's awesome. I want to worship at your altar.
I don't know how you.
You better ask your girlfriend,
honey.
He's right ahead.
Hey, you know how couples have a list?
God, yeah.
You're
God, well, there you go. God is love, and love is my religion. I love you unconditionally. There are no conditions to my love. It doesn't matter who you are and what you believe. This is your experience. This is your expression. This is what you're supposed to go through. I love you as the individual that you are.
Yeah.
I love you that even if you don't believe, I love you as the individual that God created you to be. I'm not going to go based on somebody's book where it is the contradictory and follow that, because my thing is I went directly to my higher source in order to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
I did the book stuff and I did the Aramaic and I allowed the things that seemed to not make sense to atheists in emotionally for me, spiritually, right. Made sense enough.
Right, right, right.
So let me ask you, so you don't believe that if somebody doesn't believe that they're going to a hell or something like that?
No, I believe in interdimensions. I believe that what everybody else wants to say is a heaven or a hell is interdimensional, because I also believe...
What does that mean? I'm sorry, interdimensional.
In other words, the three-dimensional world right here, this three-dimensional world, things that seem to be solid, mm-hmm. This is one dimension. I believe in spirit energy. I believe that all energy cannot die. I believe that all energy can be transformed into another form of energy. Now, I believe that that energy goes beyond the boundaries of our world, of our planet. In other words, all of that is
scientifically accurate. I mean, you're talking about the first law of thermodynamics, and in a closed system, although our Earth is not, for example, a closed system.
Right.
So energy does come in and leave, and matter does come in and leave.
Absolutely. And
how does that plug into what you're talking about?
Interdimensionally, absolutely, please. I also believe in the paranormal. I've experienced it. I've witnessed it. So I believe that there are ways of physical manipulation by interdimensional energies.
And you've drawn some conclusion about what those are? You have
not what they are, but that they exist.
Okay. Henry Phillips, what the hell is with you?
Oh, I'm loving this conversation.
You
it's
talk
great.
Too fucking much. Shut
I'm
the
thinking,
hell up.
All I can think is Henry Phillips isn't getting involved unless he can sing it.
Hang on. While he talks, mm-hmm. Let me rub his shoulders.
Oh,
go ahead. You go for
nice.
It.
I still don't know if I know what Henry believes.
Well, all right.
He believes whatever. Okay.
I think at one point when I was probably in my late teens and early 20s, I started, you know, learning or being – I grew up in a very religious community, you know, very religious part of town or whatever. And so I think that
you had to escape it. You can't think.
I think the listeners should understand.
He can't think while
he's getting a back rub. And it looks like she really knows what she's doing.
She does
so.
Know what
yeah,
she's
I'm
doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out.
Wait, yeah, this is her trick to get him. Evil. I would say whatever you believe and I believe in while I'm getting a back rub. Like,
I will take whatever.
Like, for example, like Scientology, you know, I started, a friend of mine got really into that and I went to.
Did you consider it?
Oh, I went because I was curious to know about it.
Did you go to the, what's it called, where they audit
they,
you?
They showed me a bunch of films and they talked about it, and then my buddy also was explaining a lot of things. And it sounded so outlandish right from the beginning that I was never even in danger of, you know, falling for it. And then I started looking at other things. I had a lot of friends that were Mormon. I was looking at that. That didn't really make any sense to me. And then I started looking at...
So you went on a hunt. You're looking on a spiritual quest.
Not purposely. It was just sort of like you couldn't avoid it. But I started just sort of observing. And then all of a sudden... And I don't know if this feels like something that should happen to everybody, but... I started looking at what I sort of identified myself with, which was the Christian religion, and I was like, well, wait a second, this is just the same thing,
right?
It's the same thing. It's just that the other ones are more recent. That's why they sound so crazy to me. But this one,
you know,
2000,
if you're going for the
Mormons,
ago, hey man, if you
yeah,
if,
I mean, well, 2000
if you go for
years
the
ago,
circumcision and the Jewish thing, you can be a lot more successful in business.
Thank
I'll tell you.
I thought this a few weeks ago is that if you. That I think, I could be wrong, but I think everybody is agnostic, even if it's 1%. And there's really a way to prove this. And maybe in my lifetime,
let me clarify what you just said because it was confusing. I want to make sure I got it right. You think that everyone to a certain degree is agnostic?
And yes.
Okay, go on.
Even if you're 99%, you believe
I'm not.
In God.
Okay.
Oh, and that's why I did say it that way. And I'm not being flippant. I get that.
No, I don't believe
yeah, yeah.
Being
no,
flippant.
I get that there's certain people from their soul of souls. And I think there would be a way. I'm sure if we did the test I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, I'm not that radical where I don't believe a certain percentage for – that there would be people that would be 100% they believe in God. And I'll tell you how you could sort of prove it. Even, it would be a great thing. And some, if you had this show like Bill Maher where you had money, here's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's sodium pentothal, which makes people tell the truth.
Okay.
And I think the question would be with that drug or whatever drug would make someone, you know, really talk about what was – if you asked – look, let's face it. If you took 100 people in a room, I guess I'm pretty close, that 90% of them would do what I'm going to say. And that's – here's the question. When you're at home and you're all alone, I know you believe. But when you're home alone and you lay in bed, even though with a lot of your fiber in your body that you believe that there's a place where you go and you believe all that and they're under the sodium.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
called
yeah.
Am I
sodium pentothal.
Right?
Sodium pentothal.
Is there ever a time when you lay in bed and you go – oh, and let's say it's even a preacher, and I you preach it, and I think the answer from 90% of the people, if you took 100 people in the room, 90 would be like, well, look, I really do believe what I, but yes, when I, there are times when I lay in bed at night and I think, I hope I'm not 100% positive.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Here's that leads to me to why that if there is, hey, if there is a God and he's the one looking down and he's placing punishment on people when necessary, everything's fine. But if there isn't, to me, the danger is rather than people just believing, don't do it. Not because there's somebody upstairs,
right.
Because there's all. If I'm right, and there's a 1% doubt in some people, it leads to mayhem. And people always go, if there wasn't religion, there'd be mayhem. And I, not everybody says that. I'm only talking to
some
the people.
Do. You're so careful. I love
to
how
the
careful
people
you
that say, well, because there's someone out there going, I don't say that. But yeah. There are many religious people that they go to that they go, well, there'd be mayhem. And I thought after, I can't believe I never thought about this. First, I said, well, there is mayhem. Yeah. I go, there's not people being just because there's not people being raped in the streets and pillaged. I go, there is that too. There's mayhem. And if I'm right, because when you just believe, you might doubt there's a 1% chance that there's somebody up there. But you don't doubt that to the people around you, when you steal, no one could go, when you steal or when you lie, does it make people feel bad or does it hurt? That's a fact.
Well, I'll just say this. I've been having a conversation today about
just today.
Morals with someone who's
we invited
leader.
Him to be on the show on the drive over.
He's listening right now, actually, I think.
By the way, do you understand what I'm saying? Not morals because there's someone looking over us. Because if we're having morals because there's someone – and I'm going to repeat what I said for my own. If we're having morals because there might be someone looking over us and there is someone looking over us, we're fine. But if there isn't, it would be better that people just behave from a young age. Why do you behave? Because while we're on this planet, you just treat everyone with respect.
Right, but here's what you, here's something that you may not be adding into your salad mix, okay? Here's something that you may not be adding into your salad mix.
All right, do us a favor. Toss this salad for him.
Okay. I'm going to toss your salad.
Okay.
And get out a wet nap if you've got too much dressing.
Because
I can't take all your oils. Mama can't take all your... So I like your vinegar, but mama can't take all your oils. Don't come off like some fucking amount of Olestra.
Oh, my God.
Because you can go up there, but I'm not much for the anal leakage. Anyway.
I'm so glad she's not Christian. Anyway, go ahead.
One of the concepts, what you're saying, in fact, I had a question. I had two questions in my head as you were speaking. One is, why is it a he? Why is that divine presence or that energy, that light force, that whatever, that power is a he? And why is it about administering punishment? And my other question that I add, listening to the entire amount of what you were saying, is why is it that you believe in creating this concept to even have those questions, that we are not infused with that energy, that we are not a part of that energy? And the reason I say that is because in my belief, in what I believe, and what I know for me, is that we're infused with that energy. So it's not a matter of that energy up there and this energy down here. It's all one energy. I believe that we all come from one energy, that we are derivatives of that one divine energy. So we are responsible morally to a certain extent because of our spiritual DNA.
What do you think about the people what do you think about the people who don't feel this way? Like, atheists, but I mean Christians or hardcore, you know.
Then I say, put down the book and find out what a relationship with God is if you believe in God. Put down the book because you know what? You maybe believe in religion, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know God if you believe in a God.
And you believe, I think, and then we're going to go right to talk.
Well, I just wanted to answer.
I want to clarify. You believe, for example, that atheists, there's no hell. We're all going to end up wherever.
I believe we're all the same energy.
We're all going to coalesce.
What's unconditional love? You know what I'm saying?
What's
And my thing is this, especially when Christians talk about God, you know, God hates fags. I'm like, what part of, you know, if you are a fundamental Christian, what part of love thy neighbor as you love thyself do you not get?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is there that you don't seem
well,
to
they're
get?
Cherry picking, like, as all religious people do.
The book is filled with contradictions.
But then they're not, then that's what makes them Christians, but not people who know God, and there's a difference.
Right, Todd? Yeah.
No, no. And I think what you just said, nobody in here would disagree with, obviously. As far as the he and the she goes, not a complicated answer. Just if there is somebody upstairs, just an oversight.
Patriarchal concept for you?
Wait, say that. No,
patriarchal concept for you?
No.
He's really not. I think when people do this, I've been caught in this too.
I'm asking.
Yeah,
I'm asking.
Brevity
of communication is all this is.
No, when I say he, just because growing up, because if whatever is up there, no, I don't necessarily think he or she or whatever. I wouldn't sit here and go, oh, it is a he or a. I just think laziness because growing up. So the answer to that is pretty just simple.
Okay.
And the other answer is, that's why I was careful. I wasn't really addressing you, because that's why I was very careful to say, you might not believe that. I'm talking about to the people that do. I realized
right.
once
and
we
my,
got in
my
a room,
answer was in general. So my answer, even though that was just my answer for me, I also put it out there because your listeners may go,
oh,
wow,
right.
I never had this concept
sure,
before.
I never
heard it that way from someone who claims to be a spiritual person who completely is devout and ardent in their deism. And it's a different slant because you figure most people have a tendency to believe that if you believe in God, that you belong to a religion.
Yeah.
And like I said, for me, God is love.
Yeah.
And love is my religion.
Yeah, you're as passionate as I am. It's kind of beautiful in my opinion.
Let me understand. Maybe you could help. So what you were saying is I sort of say it's I was addressing the people, and I understand you're speaking for them because some of them aren't here. That some people say, be good because there's somebody up there that watches over. It's like when you're little, they say there's somebody over watching. Is that what you were sort of?
No, what I'm actually saying is, yeah. You know what? The answer is never no. It's always yes and. Yes and.
She's so fucking positive. I love her.
The other concept to add to that salad is that we are a part of that energy. Mm-hmm. So if we're a part of that energy and that life force, it's not necessarily a matter of you have to be good because you're part of that energy, but whatever vibrates with you, you are going to accept or not accept regardless of that energy. But my concept is we're all a part of the same energy. Just like you have the DNA of your mother and father. Even if you decide that you're going to have plastic surgery and change your looks to look like fucking Michael Jackson, your blood is going to tell you who your descendants are. Not only your parents, but your grandparents and your great-grandparents. So all I'm saying is I believe in the flip side of the same coin that spiritually we are descendants and have the spiritual DNA of something greater than ourselves.
Hallelujah!
And we are a part of the cosmic energy. So a lot of times when we create things that seem to be civilized, that comes from a concept that was greater than ourselves before we were flesh on this planet.
Right, right.
When we talk about being civil, for example, a red light and a green light. Now, what made us create that system? So we don't kill each other. Well, what's wrong with killing each other?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we decide that we were going to create a civility so that we don't kill each other in cars?
Because the Chinese came up with ethics a long, long time ago. And you know what? I think it's time for a song.
All right. Why don't I do a song that I've been getting into country music a lot lately. And,
did you have to go there?
I'm sure you guys are
you
all
see who's here fans. Right now? I don't know if you
got
to
like some
music?
Country.
It's got to be ours.
Johnny Cash?
He didn't come
right,
in with any hip hop.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash
is all right.
Willie Nelson?
Johnny Cash is the Jesus of
blackest
country.
White man in the world.
How about Willie Nelson?
This song, like
I
a lot of
like
Glenn
Campbell?
Country songs, this is a song that's just glorifying.
Can the baby Jesus sing along?
Sure.
I brought the baby Jesus. Wait, baby Jesus is tuning up. Baby Jesus is on tune.
Wow.
I miss the days of radio where there's a chance that somebody might actually be tuning in.
At that moment.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore.
Well, yes, we do.
That would have been a great moment.
This is live right now.
We are live. Someone could
oh, you are live.
Right
oh, I'm
then.
Sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we are absolutely live.
We are
chatting
live,
right
say.
Now.
Oh, okay.
Commenting, laughing, cracking up.
So what song have you brought us?
Well, why don't I? Well, this is like a lot of country songs. This is a song just glorifying, you know, the simple man. Don't know much about politics. I couldn't really tell you what a Congress is. And I've never been to Germany, and I don't care. I don't really have my own point of view. You see, I've never really read a book the whole way through. And 2 + 2, well, hell, you got me there. But there's one thing that I know that's for sure, and that's that God is an invisible old man who lives way up in the clouds, and he tortures all the people that don't believe in him, and he's always overly concerned with what you're doing with your sex life for some reason. That's my very simple explanation for how everything works.
All right. Should we have him re-sing that and make God a woman?
That's, I mean, oh, yeah, or an invisible old lady.
Right.
I don't know. We should make it all inclusive.
Well, some people would say, end that song and go, and that's not God, that's people.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available in the iTunes Store.
Today, we would like to give a shout-out to AtheismUnited.com. Emery and I will be doing a lot with this new community for all who reject religion. Bookmark AtheismUnited.com today and watch us become the largest list of atheist groups in one place.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense, you can believe him. We're talking about Deborah Wilson, Todd Glass, and singing with Henry Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. That was really wonderful.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, I drive around. Yeah, I'm a road comic, so I'm always hearing these songs, and that's not too
your
much.
Your show is incredible.
Have you
seen the show, Todd?
Oh, Henry Phillips. I've had him on my podcast. And
it's phenomenal. Let's plug your
–
nice.
Thanks,
let's
guys.
Way to slip it in. Let's plug it in.
How do you like
he has
it?
A
about that?
Really sexy voice.
He does
thanks.
Have a sexy voice,
yeah, really
doesn't
sexy
he?
Voice.
Yeah, it's all the smoking.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Oh.
But
what's your podcast?
No, that's
The Todd Glass Show.
And how do they find it?
On iTunes.
And where's your podcast?
I don't have a podcast.
What?
No.
What the hell?
What the hell's the matter with you? Do you have a Twitter account?
I do.
Well,
I do
at least you have
Henlips.
That.
I'm Henlips on Twitter.
You are Henlips.
I'm out there. I've got. But that song's only a little bit of an exaggeration. You know, that's usually what I do is I'll listen to the real songs and I'll try to just take it to a little bit more of an extreme thing so that I can actually accurately tell people how stupid I think it
I'm
is.
I'm hoping I can convince you to do, it doesn't matter what you do, any song to close out the show today. You
sure,
think you do
sure.
another song for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool.
I've got one, yeah, called
All right.
Threesome in Heaven. I could do that one.
All right.
Sex in Heaven.
It's not, it's not as much of a success.
Oh, that just reminded me of the 72 virgins in heaven joke. There was like a picture of what the reality would be, and it's actually nuns up there. The 72 virgins.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I saw a cartoon once where it was all just complete and utter like nerd girls.
Just the
kind of – and spinstress. There was – they had all these different – yeah. All these people that no one would ever fuck. It's all right, I flew a plane into a building. Now I get to – ugh.
He's like, oh. Hey! No! Take me back! Take me back!
Oh, so Henry, you're an atheist, no, or do you not call yourself?
I suppose I would be. Well, yeah. I mean, and earlier, like when you mentioned, is there good and evil? I think that the word evil has religious connotations.
I try to avoid the word evil
because I think that
suggestion.
But I think that there's some things that are generally bad that we can all agree on that don't really make for a decent society. You know,
yeah, like taxes and ass rape.
Yeah.
I think you have to – I'm half kidding, half serious. I think you have to – because when you say are you an atheist, like, because obviously, you know, you're saying so many things today. I'm like – I wouldn't put my energies into, like, you seem like, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Like, even if one area I don't understand, I'm like, that seems like a sensible way you live your life. I would truly mean that I could see why you're happy. But then the morbidness in you, not morbidness, the when you're more, yeah, I guess that's
the purient.
When you want to sit across from someone that doesn't make sense just to hear their answers, it's fun sometimes, as long as you just hear their answers and stop. But everything you say, it makes one.
Well, and everything that makes sense for me, I'll tell you, everything that makes sense for me, I went directly to the source. I went directly to the divine source, psychically, spiritually, emotionally. I went directly to the divine source for me to be able to go, okay, that's what makes sense. I commune directly with that energy, and because I commune directly, what it does is it kind of tips what I learned and what Christianity is for a lot of people on its ears. And yet there have been Christians who agree with what I'm saying as a component of what they believe.
Yeah.
And fundamentalists at the same time who would completely disagree, because that's where I look at the discernment and go, okay, now on a logical level, you may know the Bible and you may read the Bible, but do you know God individually, or are you following something that you believe in with such a fervor that in the consortium of the people and the organization that you believe in, you are going to actually say that as an individual, you're willing to give up your individuality for a larger purpose, which means that you can hate people that are gay,
right,
and feel like as long as you're surrounded by a consortium of people within that community, that is a safe haven to actually believe that. And I believe that spirituality is about finding your individual relationship with God.
Okay, Todd?
Here's where I get lost.
Yeah.
And I just like simplicity. And to me, even me at times, when I like in here in the show, there's someone listening to me going, I got lost with what Todd was talking about. I know I got lost a few times. So I almost want to say this. I want to say, here's my belief. And then if does anyone have a problem with that, then I'm interested to go back and forth. Simple. You live your life and you're kind to other people. If you had 20 seconds, because people want to, when they buy us, they don't want to buy furniture at IKEA. It's hard to put together. People like easy. So make religion easy, or whatever, not religion, your belief easy.
Yeah.
Easy. So to me, it would be, well, you're here, be kind to people. If they're kind to you, that we don't have to go on. Basically, 20 seconds.
Sure.
So that's it. That's very easy to understand. Not like when it starts getting in this and that, just very simple. You're here on earth. Treat other people with respect and dignity that treat you with respect and dignity.
Yeah.
So my only thing that I get into is when people think that God can change things. That's my curiosity, to ask them questions. Oh, then why does he do it that way? Just curious.
I don't like it when people say that God answers all my prayers. I've heard people say that. I said, really? They're answering all your prayers? Well, that starving kid with AIDS who's dying in Africa in the desert in Nigeria,
well, like,
you know,
when,
whatever. You know,
when
like,
the mother,
what about that person?
One of the mothers that I thought it was very intelligent, and I think she might have been someone that believed in God. I think I'm positive. But she said she doesn't want to thank God for her son returning home from the military because a lot of other mothers were praying to that same God.
Right.
And how selfish of me to think, oh, no. Yeah. My son came home for a reason. He killed their son, but he had a reason for better.
Yeah.
I can't explain that without sounding mushy. Now, I know a lot of people could go, I could.
Yeah.
Then they talk for 3 minutes and no one understands a fucking thing they said.
Right.
Your son, your God. No. My son came home because God wanted him. Your son got killed. But God had a plan for him.
Yeah. Blah, blah.
It was bad and sad for you, and my heart goes out, and oh my God, I can only imagine losing your child. But here's why it was for the better of mankind. Can I explain to you?
Yeah.
Well, God has a plan, and that's why he does nothing.
I'm encouraged
now,
by
but
the
if
fact
somebody
that...
said to me, oh my God, what you just said, I don't believe in a God that does that, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have an energy with something, and
well, Deborah has put more thought into the philosophy of life that she's utilizing to get through this very, very difficult.
But I'm still going to play quote unquote devil's advocate, because what you're saying, I recognize where that energy comes from. But as far as what I'm concerned, I'm not going to be quiet and just go, okay, yeah, because I do believe that there is a higher purpose and a higher plan, whether we're aware of it or not. I do believe that there are things that happen for reasons.
But then how can God be loving? How can love be God?
Because you know why? Because again, I said before that and my belief is that we're all the same spiritual DNA. So it's like saying, I want this pie in the sky being to do something that I choose not to do. It's almost like,
saying, I trust the president, and I therefore, I don't have to do shit because I put a man in office to do that. So when things go wrong, I don't have to take personal responsibility.
But there's
so
things that go wrong that have nothing to do with
I'm just glad we have a man instead of the man for a change.
I always, here's where I get confused because, like, usually
you're
I
You're not confused, you just don't like it.
No. I'm pretty good at going. Matter of fact, I've defended things I don't believe in. Like when someone just unfairly shits on something, I go, hey, I don't believe that, but you're wrong. I like to be able to repeat something back to someone, and at one point they go, yes, you understand it. So here's my question. And and again, could agree to disagree. I just want someone to go, yes, you're right. So you're saying if somebody's child is murdered or, you know, yes, it's sad, but God has a bigger plan.
I'm going to give you an example. No woman who's created or the people or the women who did create Mothers Against Drunk Driving didn't do it because their sons came home alive after a party or weren't hit by somebody else. Whatever that larger creation was, there was something for the greater good that they chose to infuse in the experience. Now, again, going back to my belief, and again, I don't put that on anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
If we are a part, and again, this is coming specifically from Deborah Wilson. In my belief, if we are a part of a greater power, if we are a part of a greater energy in the universe, and we are infused with that spiritual DNA, then we also take responsibility in our free will on this planet, in the three-dimensional world, to co-create our experience and expression here. I believe that we are all experiences and expressions of God, and that with free will, we don't look at a pie-in-the-sky God saying, you take care of it, I'm not responsible. I do believe that people who use their expression and use their free will can look at an experience and go, yes, it is fucked up in the three-dimensional world, yet in my spiritual DNA, I've risen to the occasion to be a better human being and see the greater good out of it, because when I do infuse the greater good out of something, I'm watching other people heal as I continue to heal in the process.
Do you hear the judgment in what you're saying, though?
What judgment? Tell me.
Well, there's a judgment on others who don't. It's implied. You're not literally saying it. In fact, you're dancing around saying it, I think, but it's implied. You're judging those who don't embrace this idea of
yours. I'm not judging it. Not at all. There's not even one thing implied about that. I don't imply that. Whatever you choose to believe is whatever you believe. But if he's asking me a specific question, if he's putting it out there saying, what is your belief system as far as if there is a God, why certain things happen and why certain things take place? And if you believe that God is a part of why those things take place, all I'm doing is answering. So there's no judgment whatsoever. Whatever you choose to believe, and again, this is something I said off air, which I'm now going to say on air. Whatever you choose to believe is a part of your experience and expression on this planet. I have no judgment over it. Why? Because you're here to express that.
But I have a judgment on people who take those beliefs and then go vote against gays and go vote. The problem
right,
that,
but I'm I don't disagree with you. I overstand that.
Now, what do we all do as different believers and understand overstanders?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do about this problem we have with religion?
Well, that's what I'm doing. That's what you and I are doing.
And I have an answer for that. I have an individual answer. Yeah. I say I don't deal with that. Here's what I deal with. How can I be loving and kind? How can I wake up every day and love others as I love myself? How can I not convince anybody, not recruit anybody, but how can I be the full expression of love so that they choose whatever they choose to do? Now, if I serve a table and I put food on that table, it's of no consequence whether you eat or not. You can love my food. You can hate my food. My responsibility is to serve you.
You're doing a psychological magic trick, though.
No, it's not a psychological magic trick.
Yes, you are, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Here's what I think. I really do believe, this is my opinion, you're pulling a psychological magic trick in that you're very ardent and very passionate, and you're saying about these very fiery, important things that are, quite frankly, the things that made your life good, which is beautiful, in my opinion, mm-hmm. for the record. But when you communicate these things, there is a invitation to change our miserable fucking lives and join you. Are you not aware that you're putting that out there?
That's your choice. That's your choice and what you want to hear. I'm not putting anything out there, nor is it subliminal. I'm just telling you that it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. You can be that. You have every right to be that in this three-dimensional world. All I'm saying is I love you unconditionally regardless. And if I set a table, it doesn't matter whether you eat from it or not.
But that's it.
I feel like it's like this. I'm not even joking. I'm no sarcasm at all.
No.
I have a certain amount of empathy for somebody that even rapes because you look into their life.
Really?
But, no.
Go on.
Let me.
Go on.
But I feel like that's how she. I still love that person at a deep level. I think they need to be put in prison. Obviously, whatever happened to them, I'm sad.
Yeah, but I still
have a love for that person. What went wrong?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how she is accepting us. Like
no, I know,
like
I know.
You're.
No,
I don't agree with
wrong,
you
because I don't believe in good, bad, or right or wrong. So it's not wrong. And so let me clarify this. I told you before that I don't believe in good, bad, right, or wrong.
Right.
And because I don't, there is no wrong for you. This is you experiencing your expression on this planet. That's all there is. So when I say I set a table, in other words, if you come to me and say, Deborah, I need something from you. If I can offer it, I'm not going to say, well, you know what? Let me put a circumstance in which I cannot give you this thing simply because of your belief system.
Right.
My thing is, if you come to me the same way that somebody else who's religious comes to me for something that they need, if I'm able to supply that, then I'm here to supply that. If you and if someone else got into a car accident, I'm not going to say, well, let me serve this guy because he's a Christian. I'm going to look at the person who's dying or who has a better chance of being saved because that's logical and it makes sense. I'm not going to do it based on religion, and there's no mind games.
Well,
I'm not here to mind
anybody.
Well,
I wasn't suggesting that.
I have another question for you
before
we head out of here. What is your view on ridiculing religion? Like, especially the religions.
I don't believe in ridiculing anybody, let alone a religion.
Not ridiculing in a way of, let's see. Help me out here. I want to say, like, how do you feel about
people who stand up to the negatives of religion?
Like, yeah. I say ridicule because when someone says something to me that's utterly ridiculous and that I know is not true, and they say that's the thing that they believe in, I will sometimes, depending on how aggravating that person is in the conversation, ridicule what he's saying because I'm like, I know this is not
but
true when you're saying
what
it.
You've chosen to do in that moment. That's all it is. And that's why I don't believe in good, bad, right, or wrong.
Well, what I'm saying
is, because in doing that, it creates this limitation of judgment.
Hold on. I know that obviously I'm just saying this to get the answer, but it's not going to be something that obviously changes, you know, your course of belief. But when you say you don't believe in good, bad, right, or wrong, well, it's just going back to what you said about rape. Or if we wouldn't have changed, like if I had kids and somebody down the street, there's certain things that another family could believe in that I would go, you know what, I don't believe in that, but my children need to experience a lot. You know, I wouldn't go, you're not going there because their political views are different. But I'll tell you the truth. If I had a neighbor down the street and her husband didn't believe that black people should marry white people, I probably would explain to my children that I don't want them to be around that person.
Well, I think,
and that's fine, too.
But
yeah.
But if there's no
but
bad
you
or wrong.
Say it was good, bad, or right, or wrong.
Well, no, I think that's wrong. I think you have to go out on a stance and say if somebody is anti-black or anti-woman or anti-gay, that is wrong. And let me tell you something. You can't explain to somebody. At one point, you have to put people under mentally crazy. Because if you could sit around and argue with someone that 2 + 2 = 5. You could do it all day. But
I
at one point,
before.
You have to. Yeah, but you know what? Part of being intelligent, and I'm including myself in this, is if you say 2 + 2 = 4 and someone says it's 5, it's my job, if I'm right, to back off and stop arguing with that person. So when someone says there's no right or wrong, they either have to make sense, because I make sense. If you gave me let me just get this out. If you gave me directions to that 7-Eleven, I would follow what you're saying. So that's how I have to do a self-test on myself.
Okay.
Right.
But sometimes. And I know you don't need me to preface this, but I like a good energy in a room, and you genuinely seem like a sweet person, so you're always hesitant to get this way. But when you go off, like when I said, here's how you raise your kids, be loving to everybody. No,
I agree with you.
You can take caller after caller. But when you go off onto this, I get lost, and I think, is it me or is it you? And that's when the listeners, not the listeners that are atheists, fuck
right,
them, because
right.
Of course they're going to pretend. I wonder if there's anybody out there that believes in God and believes in organized religion, believes in everything, could go, I'm getting lost.
That's okay that they get lost.
Well, it's not as a communicator. You have to own something.
I can only communicate the way I can communicate. If there are people that say, I don't get it, that's okay that they don't get it.
How about in a relationship? Like if you were with your husband and you talked
about
it.
That's a whole different story.
But why don't you want to communicate your point in here to the listeners as much as you would want to communicate to your husband?
It's only a concept and an idea in you that's not necessarily a truth. It's not necessarily a fact. You say there might be people lost. Right. But now you've taken me down the road in a concept that may or may not even be true.
Well, that is obviously, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So then that's a theory. So then I can have the theory that I'm a good communicator and that the people who are listening are overstanding that. You see what I'm saying? So we can go either way.
No,
open.
I
and saying now, just to counterpoint what you were saying about good, bad, right, or wrong, I'm not going to judge you by the words good, bad, or right, or wrong. I'm going to judge you by your actions, and not necessarily judge you, but assess. So if you say, I don't want my children around people who don't believe in interrelational relationships and don't believe in gay marriage or who don't follow those, I'm not going to judge you by what you believe is good, bad, right, or wrong. I'm going to assess what you do as far as your actions are concerned.
Okay, now we're talking.
Speak louder than words.
Now we're talking about different language, and I think we got somewhere in that. I want to have more conversations.
We need
with
another
Deborah.
Hour.
I need another hour with Deborah. Would you,
you
come back,
I'll
please?
Tell you what
and
happens.
Only if you let me rub your feet.
I would love that.
Oh,
I,
and paint your and paint I, your woman's nails because yeah, yeah. She's so hot.
Only one last well, yes or no question from you. Ready? Is it right or wrong to have a three-way in heaven?
All right. That sounds like a setup for me.
Only if it's with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What?
Yeah.
It's a four-way, I think.
I'm going to try to remember. This is one of my favorite songs, but I always have a hard time remembering. Well, I was 21 years old when I married my sweetheart, and we swore that we would love each other forevermore. We lived happily ever after on a farm by the hillside, and each day was better than the one before. Well, except, of course, for this one day when she was out there tilling the land and she fell off her tractor and got run over by the rotary. You guys are laughing at this. And as I held her in my arms, I'll never forget the last words that she said to me. She said, "Baby, I'm gonna wait for you in heaven." Well, a couple days went by, and eventually I just sort of got over it. And I started hanging out with some 21-year-old beach bunny. We moved out to California and got a place by the ocean, and each day was better than can be. Well, except, of course, for this one day when she was out on the waves and she slashed up on her rip curl and got dragged out to sea. And as I was laying there on my beach blanket, I'll never forget those words that she shouted across to me. She said, "Baby, I guess I'm gonna see you in heaven." Well, when my time finally came, I was standing at the pearly gates, and my first wife was there, and she said, "See, baby, I told you I was gonna wait for you." But it was kind of this awkward situation, because Beach Bunny was right behind her, and she had said that she was gonna wait for me too. So I didn't know what to do, so I thought I'd make a dumb joke, and I said, "Hey, well, maybe we could all just have a threesome." Well, the angels in heaven didn't take kindly to my joke, and nothing I could say would appease them. And that's when I was stricken down to hell. Well, the moral of this story is, if you're ever in some weird love triangle and both of your loves die in some horrific but geographically relevant injury, don't try to ask God for a threesome in heaven, or you'll end up in hell just like me. Yeah, you'll end up in hell just like me.
Wow. Oh my God. What a great ending.
Amazing. You guys, thank you so much for being here. That's
thanks,
it for episode 38. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Facebook publicist, Cameron Winters.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Salami, salami, bologna.